matter what people say, we got it going on. Who cares about what they say?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beefs,
spazzle,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And, I feel like I have to change my tagline because normally I say, I hope you guys are having a wonderful week so far. But as many of you now know, we are on a new night. So According to RP is no longer airing on Thursday nights. We are now airing on Sundays at 7 p.m. And I'm so excited to actually be doing this on a Sunday. And it's interesting because I was so tied to Thursdays when I first started. I felt like that was prime time. And then I realized that Sundays is where it's at because that's where people are actually, that's when people are home. On Thursdays, I'm competing with all of these after work mixers, especially now we're in summer solstice. So summertime is in full effect. June 21st was the official day of summer. So all of these rooftop parties, after work hangouts are taking place on Thursdays. And I felt like it was just too much of a competition. And on top of that, my last few guests, the conversations were so robust. They were so insightful that I was starting to slip past my 1 hour mark. And so I have shows that follow me on Thursdays. And so when I spoke to Jamie, the station owner, I had to come to the realization that, you know what, I might have to switch to another night. And so when she told me that Sundays was available at the same time, I jumped on it because 7 p.m. is right before any of the real TV shows take place on a Sunday. And it's early enough where people will actually, you know, tune in. There's nothing really popping happening at a 7 p.m. on a Sunday. So I hope you guys stay faithful with me on the Sunday nights. And I'm excited at the, you know, the variety of guests that I'll now be able to actually interview live. Hopefully I'll be able to do a lot more live shows because Sundays I'll be able to actually meet up with people. I don't have to, you know, rush after work or leave work early just to record a show. So very, very excited about the new day. And so I guess my tagline, I don't know. I'm going to start saying, I hope you guys are getting ready for the week to come. And so that's that with respect to my new night. So as I stated not too long ago, we are in summer solstice. Summer fun is in these streets. And so for those of you who remember, I guess, I don't know, maybe 10 episodes ago, 15 episodes ago, when I was giving my, I guess, warnings and I was giving my tips and advice for cuffing season, for the winter cuffing season, I guess it's appropriate now to really have a discussion about, I guess, summer solstice and summer fun, because cuffing season is officially over. Like, I know, you know, each year that goes by, cuffing season, it becomes very, I don't know, it's very bipolar because the weather is funny. One week you think it's summer, you think that, okay, you're free now, the cuffs are off. And then the next week it's snowing and then you're like, man, it leads us into a state of confusion. But now that I think it's safe to say that we will not have any type of winter storms as we are in June. For those of you who had a successful cuffing season, great. I'm sure by now though, you probably have been cut loose. Or you have cut someone loose. So the only thing I'm really going to say, guys, for the summer, I mean, people like to be free. They like to be unattached for the summer. Some people are actually out here hunting because they're on the ball. They're actually looking for the next cuff for the next season. Just be safe out there. You know, summer fun is summer fun. What happens in summer sometimes stays in summer. Sometimes it drags on to the fall. Whatever it is, whatever the case is for you, just be safe this summer, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm always talking for the ladies. Gentlemen as well, I do feel your pain in these streets. I guess crazy goes all around. Just be careful, not just in terms of like having safe sex and all this other stuff, but just be careful with the individuals that you allow to take up your space, to, you know, have access to your energy. I find that a lot of times in the summer, you know, that's when we're out there. That's when we're meeting everybody. That's when we're meeting new people. And sociopaths are walking around. They are among us. They are here. It's very hard to spot sociopaths. These are individuals who are out here hunting just to make your life miserable. And I think a lot of times we fall into these traps because we're just, you know, we're thinking, oh, it's summer, we're okay, it's just, we're just having fun, and we don't allow ourselves to really get to know people. We don't allow ourselves to really evaluate whether this energy that we're experiencing is supposed to be a good energy. We don't really assess, like we don't pay attention because we just think, oh, we're having fun. But a lot of times having fun turns into trouble. It turns into like the mistake of your life. So just be more vigilant. You know, you don't have to talk to everybody who comes your way. You don't have to acknowledge everybody who comes your way. You don't have to give your number, email address, whatever method you're using. You don't have to give, you know, I guess, I don't know, acknowledgement. You don't have to, you don't have to accept every invitation. Like, it's okay to have fun and still like be on your, you know, grown woman, grown man stuff, and you and still take the time to like evaluate the people that you're allowing in your circles and in your face, quite frankly. So that is my warning for summer, summer fun, summer solstice, summer celebrations. Just be careful out here in these streets. So for the last couple of weeks, we have not gone through our preliminaries. And I know you guys have probably been like aching, like, oh man, what is the Urban Dictionary work for, you know, word for this week? I haven't heard the Urban Dictionary word for the last couple of weeks. You guys are probably, you know, deprived from the lack of big up of the weeks in your lives and the womp womps. So I definitely want to get back to that. Now that I have more time for the shows, I can easily, you know, do an hour 15 now without a problem. I will make sure that our preliminaries stay intact. So with that being said, our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is...
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Happen on fleek, Jalit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Is broflake. Broflake is a man who thinks he's a nice guy and says he will treat you like an actual human being, unlike other males. But if you reject him, he says you're missing out or weren't that pretty to begin with. Example, this broflake got mad at me when I told him women don't like it when men pity themselves when they can't get a girl, even though they are a nice guy. So I guess to put it into my terms, into Rita terms, I've never heard anybody use the word broflake before, but I definitely understand the concept. It's basically I find it when a guy is catcalling you in the middle of the street, you crossing the street, you walking down the street, whatever, he sees you in public and he tries to holler at you and you... I try to take the nice approach. I don't think I'm ever rude when I'm, you know, declining these cat calls. I tend to still be either very respectful, like, even though they're not respecting me, but you know what I mean. Like, if somebody is trying to get my attention or trying to holler at me in the street, I will kindly tell them thank you, you know, thank you, or no thank you, whatever it is. And I keep going. Or if I can get away with, you know, acting like I don't hear them because I have headphones on, I do that as well. But there have been a few times where a guy has tried to holler at me in the street and I was like, oh, you know, no, thank you. Or I'm not really interested, you know, but thanks. And they were just like, oh, well, you're not that cute anyways. or you're not that pretty anyways, or that's why you single. You know what I mean? So I've definitely gotten that before when you don't respond, I guess, accordingly to the catcall or to the holleration that's happening. The guy then goes from like sweet to sour. At first it was like, you know, good evening, miss. Can I get your name? To, you know, are you seeing anybody? Or, you know, I'd like to get to know you. And if you dare say, hi, yeah, no, I'm not really interested. Thank you, though. Next thing you know, you're a witch. You know, you ain't that cute anyways. That's why you single. And all these negative things starts happening. So I definitely understand the term broflick. I just don't think people are using that term broflick. I don't really know where the origin came from. You know, these words come from all over the place. It was submitted by somebody, I guess that goes by the tag name, I Cannot Deal. Either way, if you guys are using this word or if you've heard of this term before, again, not the definition or not the idea behind it, but if you've ever used the word broflick to describe, you know, what I just, you know, described, or if you have heard it before, let me know, because I'm always interested in knowing whether or not these terms that I share with you guys on a weekly basis from Urban Dictionary are actually phrases that are used within the community, whether people are actually saying it or is it somebody who's just coming up with it and is like, oh, yeah, I want to submit this word, but nobody and their mother uses the word. So that was our Urban Dictionary word of the week. So it's now time for my favorite section or my favorite segment of the show. It is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. You for big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. Whoa. So this week's big up of the week goes to the New York legislature. So I don't know if any of you guys are aware or I guess have come across this through your social media feed, because apparently that's where we all get news nowadays. So according to CNN, because I have to give the source, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill on Monday, this past Monday, that will allow undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's licenses in the state of New York. And so this was approved by the Senate. It's called the Green Light Bill, and it was 33 votes to 29, which is very interesting. It was a very close call, it seems like. So the original sponsor of the bill, Senator Luis Sepulveda, basically talked about how important it is, you know, to for a bill like this to be introduced and to be passed, because, I mean, we're in New York. This is a state filled with immigrants, you know, immigrants who are actively working in the community, contributing to the community. And so in a sense, you know, passing this bill kind of gave some sort of like dignity to the individuals, to the undocumented individuals who are among us, you know, and I could understand that, because I feel like it is a sense of like degradation, in a sense where you're out here, you're working, you're doing what you need to do, but you can't get a driver's license because you're undocumented. It's a constant reminder that you can never drive legally in the state of New York. And so I think it's definitely a great win. It's definitely a great effort to have this bill signed. And I'm not sure exactly when it's going to, you know, officially, I guess, go into effect, but I'm definitely here for it. And so, you know, New York is very progressive. We're always doing all these amazing things. We're always the first. I don't know if we're the first in this particular case, because I know that there are other states that have similar bills and have similar, I guess, similar pushes. But I definitely, you know, appreciate the fact that, you know, we have a legislature that is trying to, you know, do the best that it can, I guess, for its citizens, you know, both documented and undocumented workers. I'm not saying that it's the best. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's the best. I mean, clearly we all see what's going on in the news, and we know that there's a lot that needs to be changed. Criminal justice reform. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we need to seriously take a look at and make changes in. But I think that with respect to the undocumented workers now being able to have driver's license, I think there's a lot of positivity in that. So I'm definitely here for it. So Of course, Senor Trump definitely, I guess, I don't know, had something to say about this. So with respect to this particular bill, I mean, there were some concerns with respect to, I guess, how this would all play out in terms of, you know, the fear that federal officials would now be able to obtain information about undocumented individuals, which could then lead to deportation. However, our New York Attorney General, Letitia James, stated on Monday that there are safeguards in the bill against that. So, you know, I'm not 100% sure what all of these safeguards are, but I would definitely see that as being a concern for individuals. So, you know, meaning that undocumented individuals would probably not be running to the DMV to go get a driver's license because of this fear that now their information would be in the system and, you know, ICE can now knock on their door. But according to the Attorney General, there are safeguards for that. But with everything else in life, education is key. So understanding what these safeguards are and really, you know, knowing, I guess, your rights with respect to all of that is where I guess all that would come into play. So more on that. I will do a little more investigative work on that. But I find, for me, it was a big up of the week. When I saw that, it made my heart happy. As the child of immigrants, you know, I know the struggle. So I definitely think it's a step in the right direction. So big up to the New York State Legislature for that. Now, so this week's show is going to be really discussing different events and different things that have come up in the news, I guess, in the last week. And some of them are updates as well, too. So there's a couple of updates that were in the news from, you know, past shows that I've had that I've brought up certain topics. And there are some updates on these past topics that will be discussed on today's show. So some of them, so there's not really like a real womp womp of the week, because some of these topics that I'm going to discuss kind of like fall into the womp womp category. So I don't know where to begin. I guess the gloomy stuff, we can get that stuff out the way first. So Senor Trump is at it again with his tweets. And so according to CNN, I'm getting a lot of things from CNN this week. ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, is getting ready for another round of raids. So we just got done talking about New York State, you know, now passing a bill to allow undocumented individuals the opportunity now to obtain a driver's license. And now, interestingly enough, in the next breath, I'm talking about another round of ICE raids that will be taking place. So according to CNN, ICE is getting ready for another round of raids. And so Senor Trump decided to make this tweet last week. He states, next week, ICE will begin the process of removing the millions of illegal aliens who have illegally found their way into the United States. They will be removed as fast as they come in. Mexico, using their strong immigration laws, is doing a very good job of stopping people. Now, it's really amazing to me how, like, anytime Trump tweets, I guess, policy, I don't even know what you want to call this, things just happen. Things just move, like, automatically. Like, it's like he spews out this BS, and then next thing you know, the governmental agencies are all on top of it. So CNN explains here that a senior administration official told CNN the operation had been planned for some time, but said that the tweet had put the operation at the forefront. Quoted here, certainly the president's tweet helped prioritize things for people, the official said, adding that there had been internal debate about timing and amid negotiations with Congress on additional funding and the upcoming 2020 budget. So basically, continuing the quote, If you're here illegally, then you should be removed, acting head of ICE Mark Morgan stated to CNN. And in this case, this includes families. The official also spoke of the possibility of collateral arrest of folks in the process, according to the Post. So, basically, people, be on high alert. The raids are expected to take place over several days starting Sunday, today, in as many as 10 U.S. cities, including Houston, Chicago, Miami, Los Angeles, as well as other major cities known to be immigrant hubs, according to the New York Post. So, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, in terms of the state of New York, our attorney general, again, Letitia James, states and promises that New York will do everything in its power to protect its immigrants. And I mean, New York as a sanctuary state, I mean, I feel like we've been doing a lot to protect our undocumented immigrants. I, you know, don't see us moving away from that. However, I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about ICE raids that can take place. I remember, I don't know if it was a couple of years ago when the ICE raids were like running rampant. And, you know, it caused a state of hysteria within especially the Haitian community that I'm more so familiar with. I'm sure it caused pandemonium in other communities as well, but I can only speak to the community that I'm familiar with. And I remember, you know, people were afraid to go to church. They were afraid to leave their house. My mother, who is a U.S. citizen, was asking me questions like, do I need to walk around with my passport? So, you know, people were really scared. They were really terrified because ICE was literally rolling up on people in the street, and it was crazy. And a lot of the spaces that people felt were, you know, off limits to ICE, such as churches and whatnot, some of them were still being raided. Some of them were still, you know, these locations that were supposed to be safe havens for individuals were still being, you know, still under attack. And so now to think that we're about to go through another raid because, you know, the president tweeted it. They're claiming that they had these plans to do these raids, which I have no doubt that there were plans to continue these efforts. But the president, by him tweeting about it, put it on, I don't know, on fast forward. So now what could have been, I don't know, maybe months more of planning has now like turned into like today. ICE is rolling up on people. And so what I say to the individuals out there who are undocumented or who know people who are undocumented, it's important for you to know your rights and to seek assistance from qualified individuals. So, you know, the internet, like I said, is for everybody. It's available for everyone. It's accessible for everyone. You know, there are a lot of legal aid societies. Brooklyn, you know, there's Brooklyn Legal Services. There's, you know, from, you know, the ones that I know, Legal Aid Society. There's CAMBA. There's a lot of grassroots organizations here in the community that can assist, you know, individuals in the community by, you know, and equipping them with the knowledge that they need. There are a lot of people in these streets taking advantage of undocumented individuals. They are taking their money. They are giving them false promises. They are not empowering them with the knowledge that they need. They're contributing to the mass hysteria because they're telling things that are not true. And so, for those of us out there who do have this information, who are from the legal community or from the, you know, the advocate community, you know, we do a lot of talking. There's a lot of lip service that goes on. Everybody wants to talk about doing things. Everybody wants to, you know, when it's cool, everybody wants to get on their platforms and talk about why it's important to do X and why it's important to do Y, but they don't ever do it. And for me, like I talked the talk and I've walked the walk. So I'm saying this because I am these individuals who actually go out here and try to put programs together and panels together to educate the community. So I can say what I have to say. But there are a lot of you out here. You guys are like internet, you know, activists and like social media thugs, but you guys are not really doing anything meaningful to really, you know, contribute to your community and to help those in need. So, you know, with This is nothing new. The immigration issues is nothing new for the community. But I feel like, especially under this administration, you never know what can happen. Things are just unpredictable. And there are a lot of people out here, our parents, our relatives, our friends, our church members, that are scared because they don't know. They don't have the information. They don't know their rights. They don't know. And for those of us who do know or have the ability to know, it's up to us to step out and actually help those who cannot help themselves. Like that, for me, I feel like that's a duty of ours. Those of us who were afforded the opportunity to study in this country, to be born in this country, and to be able to, you know, I feel like for me at least, you know, I'm the child of immigrants, and my duty in a sense is to give back in any way that I can, because in a sense it was a privilege for me to even be able to be born here and to be able to get to go to school and to be able to receive the education to help my parents and to help my relatives and to help my community. And so as things are starting to get a little more uglier or get uglier again within the world of immigration, you know, take the time to figure out how you can actually be, be impactful in your community with respect to this. You might not necessarily know everything, but I'm sure you'll be able to reach out to some of these grassroots organizations and get them to come to your church to talk to your congregation members that I'm pretty sure 9 out of 10, there's at least one or two individuals in that congregation that is undocumented. So we really just need to actually work together on all of this. I'm pretty sure this is not going to be the last that we hear about these raids, as it looks like they're going to be starting like right now. But it's really important for us to be engaged and to be involved and to be present outside of the social media platform. So our favorite boy is back in the news. And when I say favorite boy, I'm talking about Empire's star, Jussie Smollett. Now, I keep telling myself that I am gonna stop talking about this guy, but he keeps coming back in the news. He keeps being relevant in the news, and maybe it's because we're making him relevant. I don't know. But either way, it's just so hard to step away fully from this guy. I thought that I was done with him. After I heard that the charges were dropped, I was like, okay, fine, whatever. It was hot for like a week and then I was over it. But now Jussie is back in the news. So according to the Associated Press, a Chicago judge on Friday ordered that a special prosecutor be appointed to look into how Cook County State Attorney Kim Fox and her office decided to drop all 16 misdemeanor charges against the actor over the allegations that he staged a homophobic and racist attack against himself in the city earlier this year. Now, I'm not sure how I feel about all of this, because the first thing that comes to mind is, are people not dying in the streets of Chicago? Is crime at an all-time low? Like, what is going on that, I don't know, why is this a priority? Why does a judge feel that they need to call a special prosecutor to come in and assess this case? Like, People are literally dying in these streets. There are so many issues in Chicago, in the Chi. There are so many issues, serious issues, real issues. And this is where we want to put our resources. We want to put our resources in finding out whether or not, like seeing if the case of Jussie Smollett, the actor from Empire, was mishandled. I mean, clearly the guy has some sort of psychological issues. He might be a sociopath. He might, you know, he might be, but I don't know. I'm sure there's something going on here. I don't remember what his psychological exam said. I feel like there was something about that revealed about his psyche. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making things up. But I'm sure there's something going on for anybody to come out there face and make up. I do believe that he made up this whole homophobic racist attack thing. I do believe that he did. But the case was closed. They dropped the charges as a lot of us knew that they would. I mean, it's it's two things that could have happened with this case, right? One, you make an example of him so that celebrities never, you know, try the system again. Or two, you give him a slap on the wrist. You drop the charges. You maybe give him some community service. I don't know. And you call it a day. Why this case is now being reopened as if it was like the crime of the century, the crime that got away, is out of control. Especially like after coming off that When They See Us documentary / miniseries on Netflix, and you look at like that should have been a case where people should have actually been throwing resources to find out, you know, whether somebody was guilty or innocent or whether there was foul play. But the Jussie Smollett case, really out of control. So the article goes on to say that Fox has been under fire for the handling of the investigation, including from the Chicago Police Department and the former mayor. Her office charged Smollett with 16 counts of disorderly conduct after police concluded that Smollett had staged the early morning January 29th attack on himself and had paid two acquaintances, i.e. the Nigerian brothers, to help him pull it off. But it stunningly dropped all of the charges weeks later, prompting an outcry from police and leading a former state appellate judge, Sheila O'Brien, to call for a special prosecutor. Again, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why this is top priority in this country. So the judge so eloquently stated, quoted, "There was no master on the bridge to guide the ship as it floundered through the uncharted waters and it untimely lost its bearings," Toom wrote in a 20-page opinion. 20 pages, my dude. 20 pages. "The unprecedented irregularities identified in this case warrants the appointment of independent counsel to restore the public's confidence in the integrity of our criminal justice system." If we're talking about the integrity of our criminal justice system, this is not it. This is not the case to restore the integrity of the criminal justice system. I can sit here and list a million, literally a million, if not more than a million cases of individuals who have been wrongfully accused in our country, individuals who have been dealt the wrong hand of justice in our country. There is so many accounts that I can list, but there is not enough time to do so. But this right here, the Jussie Smollett case where he staged his own attack, this is the case where we need to have an independent counsel restore the public's confidence in the integrity of our criminal justice system. If this is not BS, I really don't know what is. It's almost insulting, to be very honest. It's hurtful and it's very insulting that this is like, it's almost like... I don't even know what it's almost like anymore, to be very honest. I mean, if we're really going to talk about restoring the public's confidence in the integrity of our criminal justice system, this is not where we're starting. We need to start with, I don't know, the last few cases of police brutality that has happened within our community. I mean, we have little kids being snatched up in the middle of the street in broad daylight, bouncing basketballs in Brooklyn, New York, getting snatched up because, we thought he was the suspect. He fit a description. And then come to find out the kid was innocent. The kid was not who they were looking for. And it's just like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, the system is so corrupt. The system is so rigged. And it's like, this is where we want to throw our resources. It's almost a joke. It is a joke. It's not almost a joke. It is a joke, which leads me to believe that these judges really don't care about the integrity of the criminal justice system. They really don't. Because if they did, this would not be it. It would not be it. This Jussie Smollett thing would not be the vehicle that they're trying to, I guess, used to bring justice and to highlight and to restore public confidence. This is really a shit show. It's really a shit show. And it's unnerving at times. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a circus. It's the circus called America. And we're living in it. And we have front row seats to it. And, you know, I have people in my life who do talk about entertainment, who talk about social media as being these platforms that's really destroying the Black community and really destroying the community at large. But it's like, it's one of these catch-22s. You kind of need the media to be informed of what's going on. But then when you read things like this, it's kind of like, I kind of wish that I just didn't really know. Like, I almost wish I never read the article by the Associated Press to hear this tomfoolery. Because sometimes ignorance is bliss. Sometimes, because you know that the system is so crazy and it's so messed up, and it's like, the hope that it will ever change really isn't there. You almost don't want to hear these things. You almost want to be blind and deaf to the circus called America. And this whole like criminal justice thing, it's like this is it's a farce. There really is no criminal justice. And it's like this attempt, it's just so, it's patronizing almost. I mean, that's kind of how I feel. I mean, and again, I feel like another reason why this has become such top news, so important that special independent investigators and prosecutors have to be on this is because of Senor Trump. This guy's out here tweeting, calling for a special prosecution on the Jussie Smollett case. Meanwhile, he has all these things that need to be investigated for his damn self. But I feel like if he wasn't so involved, and the only reason like he is so involved is because part of the Jussie saga was him invoking the name of Make America Great Again, the MAGA mantra. And so I guess that unnerved or that pissed off Trump so much that, you know, here we have a hoax and you're using the make, you're kind of making light of the Make America Great Again. And I guess that's why he was so, I don't know, he felt stung by all of this. And so he's out here tweeting, calling for a special prosecutor on the Jussie Smollett case. I mean, it just doesn't, I mean, I keep saying it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. This is the world we live in when Trump, and I have to say President Trump because he is the president, whether we like it or not. But when men like Trump, when individuals like Trump can sit in the presidency and dictate and direct the country with his craziness and his foolishness, it's almost like, I mean, damn, we're screwed. And so this is why, I guess, Jussie Smollett is back in the news, because President Trump's tweeting about it. He's making it a thing. And so now we're wasting resources on Jussie Smollett to find out, did he really... stage his, I guess, his attack? And if so, why were the charges dropped? This is like murder mystery with no murder and no mystery, really. But either way, that's that. And so I guess on to more, well, maybe not grim news. So this is not as grim. It's grim, but it's not grim. So I don't know if you guys remember the story, and I think I spoke about it at some point last year, the tragic slaying, the bodega slashing of Junior Guzman Feliz. So Lisandro Guzman Feliz, who went by Junior. So last year, actually it's been, I think last Wednesday, marked the 1 year anniversary of his death. And for those of you who follow my social media, this death of this 15-year-old boy haunted me. One, because I have a 12-year-old son, but two, just the way that this kid was just brutally murdered because of a case of mistaken identity, because some chick who had a boyfriend, I think there was some drama. And so like the gang, the young girl, her brothers were part of this like Dominican cartel gang. And instead, I guess they were trying to come after the girl's boyfriend, but the girl didn't want to give her boyfriend up. So she instead like pointed out this junior kid who she was cool with. And the gang members, her relatives, ended up killing him in a way that was just so, like, I saw the video, the way that they chased this kid down. He was in the bodega. They slashed him with machetes. You know, that's how, I mean, listen, guys, say what you want to say. That's how some of these Spanish get down, with the machetes. And I'm watching this, like, they're literally hacking this kid up on camera. And even right now I'm talking about it, it just brings like chills down my spine, because it was just so, But either way, there is justice for Junior. So last week, the New York Post reported that a jury in the Junior Guzman Feliz bodega slaying case, all five of them have been convicted of all counts, all the top counts. So murder, first degree, all that. They have all been convicted, and they will all be serving long jail sentences. And I mean, it's one of these things where you're like, okay, well, we have a little justice here, right? The thing is that, you know, we're talking about minorities against minorities. If these were, I don't know, white people, I don't know if we would have gotten a verdict this quick. I don't know what the verdict would be. Like, it's really hard to just be positive when it comes to these types of cases nowadays, because you definitely see, like, race matters. And it's sad, again, to be like, all right, well, you know, more of our people are going to jail. But a situation like this, man, they killed that 15-year-old boy who everybody loved. And it's just like, really? But at least there is justice for Junior. And there was, I guess, a clip where they had asked the mother, like, how does she feel about all of this? And the mom was just like, she just doesn't feel good. I mean, nothing's going to bring that boy back. You know, these five guys, yes, they will be in jail. They will be in prison probably for the rest of their lives, or at least a very, very long time. But it doesn't bring the kid back. And then to sit there through the trial to relive everything that took place. I mean, yes, you got a jury verdict that was favorable, but it's just a reminder again that, like, your son is gone. And, like, yeah, these guys are behind bars, but they're living. So I don't know. Rest in peace to Junior. You know, blessings to the parents, condolences to the parents. But at least in my case, I will say that there's a little justice here. So now, since we're on the topic of Dominican Republic, what in tarnations is going on in the Dominican Republic? Like, I am very confused as to what has been going on in the DR. Now, I have friends who are Dominican, and I love them to death. You know, I have no issues with them. But I am just, I don't know what to say. Like, as a Haitian American, I have my own personal issues with the DR. I've been to DR twice in my life. But ever since, you know, I think, I don't know if it was 2012 or whatever it was, 2013, when the DR was out here straight disrespecting Haitians, I had stopped any trips to the DR. Like, I have not contemplated going to the DR for any reason. And I don't plan to. I don't plan to go because of, you know, again, my personal reasons. You know, I stand with my people. And it's not to say that people, you know, there are not other countries disrespecting people all over the world. But for me, I just... It's still raw for me. And so therefore I can't go and support a country who is, you know, actively messing with my people. And I hear all the time, you know, you have Dominicans who are standing up for the government, standing up for their country, saying, oh, well, the Haitians, you know, there was a time where we were under their rule, blah, 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 whatever. In 2019, I mean, the human rights violations that are taking place right now, unacceptable. So that's why I don't go. But now, the DR is in the news, not for persecuting Haitians, but in the last 12 months, 9 Americans have lost their lives mysteriously, either some sort of alleged respiratory issue, heart attack. But it's been it's been a back-to-back situation where people are literally calling for, like, a ban on travel to the DR. Like, all throughout my social media, all you see is don't go to the DR. And yes, people are like, oh, it's a beautiful country, you shouldn't let that sway you. Listen, it's a beautiful country. I've been there. I've had the food. I've drank the juice. It's a beautiful country. The beaches are beautiful. But I don't understand what's happening at these resorts. It can't just be a coincidence It can't just be. I mean, social media has been on and popping for years now. The internet has been live for years now. So this can't just be like, oh, well, now social media is popping, so now we're hearing more about these deaths. Like, no. In 12 months, we've been hearing about these back-to-back deaths going on in the DR, and it just doesn't make sense. Dying while vacationing. And so the recent death, the latest of the slew of deaths that occurred in the DR was of Joseph Allen, 55 years old, from New Jersey, found dead in his room at the Terra Linda Resort in Sosua. He was there celebrating his friend's birthday, and he passed away this past Thursday. The cause of death, unknown. Nobody knows. Nobody knows how this man died. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And more Americans are reporting mysterious illnesses. So it's not just the deaths. We have the 9 on the books that have died. U.S. I heard that there were some, I think, I don't know if it was France or whatever country, they had some individuals die as well too. But we're talking about the U.S. But aside from people dying, we've had reports of Americans being violently ill. Mysterious illnesses again that occurred in the DR again within the last 12 months. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, the country is claiming that there are no links to these deaths. But I don't know how much of that I can really like take. Like, of course you're going to say that there is no link to these deaths. You're not going to rat on yourselves. Like, that's not what you're going to do. I guess my question is, where is America when you need them, right? They're invading countries for no reason. They're setting up U.S. military forces in these countries for no reason. But here we have an actual crisis affecting Americans. And there's no call for investigations. Nobody's deploying researchers and coroners and doctors to get to the bottom of this situation. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm asking for too much. I don't know. But something seems fishy to me. Like, I had read a report. It wasn't for this last guy. I think it was the guy before this last guy that died. And his son was just like, I should have asked for the body to be flown to America so that there could be an independent report here. And that's exactly what I'm wondering. Like, where are the coroner reports? Like, the American coroner report? To verify or to figure out what the cause of death was. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, the only thing that I can say now is, until further notice, don't go to the DR. Because I don't know, like, it could be an environmental thing. Do I believe that there is some sort of foul play going on these resorts? Maybe. Maybe they are actively poisoning foods. I don't know. But I'm not going to rule out the fact that there might be some environmental issue that's going on right now with the country. Maybe there needs to be agriculturists and environmentalists testing the land, you know, testing the poultry, testing the fish. I don't know. But there needs to be something, or else the DR, from what I understand, most of its economy, it thrives off of tourism. And if tourism goes down, the country will go down. So I think it would be in their best interest to figure out what the hell is going on to restore the public's confidence in traveling to the DR. Like, the other day I saw a deal, like $100 one way, you know, resort and everything included. Nobody's picking up these deals. Lowering your airfares and your resort fees are not getting people out there when there's a possibility that they might die. So I think that it's in everybody's best interest to figure out and get to the bottom of how these people are dying and these mysterious deaths. Because it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, this whole murder mystery thing, like, I don't even... I'm very confused. It's scary. It's hella scary. And it's not just for me going to the, you know, I'm not going to the DR. That's one thing. But I'm kind of scared, like, leaving the country, period, in a sense, like, and going to these resorts. Like, what is going on here? Like, it definitely makes you wonder, and it definitely makes you think twice. Because this shit is scary. It is very scary. So, that's that. So to end things on a more positive note, my very dear friend Harold Jean-Louis, along with his partner Milta Desir, Held the first annual National Bilingual Bee and Biliteracy Competition here in Brooklyn, New York on June 1st. And so nearly 100 students competed in the first annual National Bilingual Bee and Biliteracy Competition at PS 250. And so I think this was really cool because I've never heard of anything like this before. I mean, when we were all in school at some point, we all were involved in spelling bees and whatnot. But I think that, you know, especially in the, I don't know, in the times that we're in, we're definitely in a time of multiculturalism, bilingualism. This is definitely appropriate, I think. And, you know, this is the first I've ever heard of anything like this before. And I think that it's really great that you have young professionals who are, again, you know, steering the ship, steering the narrative in our communities. And so each student entered into one of the four national bilingual bee and biliteracy competition categories, which were Mandarin Chinese, English, French, Mandarin Chinese / English, French English, Spanish English, and Haitian Creole English. The participants ranged from ages 6 to 18 and were all proficient in more than one language. After three rounds that assessed each student's bilingual skills in spelling, listening, writing, and speaking, the judges took to the difficult decision of choosing the winner of each of these designated categories. So I will not shout out all the names of all the individuals because there are a lot, but I definitely commend again these two individuals, Harold and Milta, for coming up with this concept. It's a really dope concept. And again, like, we are in the age of multiculturalism and there are more and more, you know, bilingual students nowadays. And I think also this promotes, in a sense, the push for bilingual and biliteracy. You know, it's not just English anymore. You know, it's funny because they say the unofficial official language of the United States is Spanish. And I totally believe it's true because I feel like at some point everybody needs to know a little bit of Spanish if you want to be able to carry on in America or at least in New York State. And, you know, even with myself, you know, I have my son who's, you know, Haitian American / Haitian American, Guyanese American. It's important for him to also, you know, be bilingual. And, you know, it's really hard nowadays when you are a young professional raising kids. It's hard to really kind of, I guess, put into place that, okay, I'm going to teach my kids to be bilingual. It's very difficult. But I feel like, I don't know, this national bee definitely put a battery in my back to try to be, you know, I guess, a little more proactive in getting my son to be bilingual and to learn a whole new language on top of that, to learn either Spanish or, you know, another language. So I think it's really important that we teach our kids that it is important to not just be monolingual, but to be bilingual, trilingual, to be a polyglot, whatever. So, you know, I know I gave my big up of the week earlier to the New York State Legislature, but I guess I'll end the show on a positive note and give another big up of the week to Harold and Milta for this amazing initiative. And I can't wait to hear more about it and to hopefully be present for the second annual National Bilingual Bee and Biliteracy Competition, hopefully held in Brooklyn, New York, because it is hard to travel outside the borough. But either way, guys, that was today's show. You know, I tried to give a couple of updates of things that we've talked about in the past and to give my 2 cents on some of the disturbing things that I've been seeing in the media concerning, you know, our human rights, you know, our social rights, social justice. It's really disturbing the times that we are living in. It really is disturbing. And it's like, you know, each day that goes by, I'm like, how can I empower myself? How can I empower my child? How can I empower my community amidst all of the darkness that's going on? And so Next week's episode will hopefully be a little lighter. Most likely I will have a guest. But thank you for tuning in to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. And thank you for embracing the new night. The Sunday at 7 p.m. I got a lot of positive feedback when people saw that we were moving the Sunday. So I definitely hope to keep this momentum. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, send me an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com or slide up in my DM. I'm very open. I address my social media inboxes. So if you do send me a DM, I will respond. And if you want to be a guest on the show, or if you know somebody who should be a guest on the show, don't feel ashamed or don't... You guys know I'm always bad with these sayings. Don't be afraid to reach out to me, and let me know. So with that being said, guys, it is a wrap.
You were listening to According to RP on WJM.